This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at this week in the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Grain traders continue to balance favorable weather, improving export demand and anticipation ahead of next week's USDA acreage and quarterly grain stocks reports. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says weather has been the biggest driver in the grain markets this week.
Weather is a huge part of it. There's no question about that as we continue to see virtually, you know, non-threatening weather across the whole entire U.S. and especially the continental states here. You know, we had, you know, warm temperatures when we needed it to kind of dry things out to be able to get in the fields, especially for us up here in the northern plains, you know, so then, you know, we were able to get the crop in the ground. Then we got cooler temperatures to let the wheat and the corn, you know, be able to grow and not see any stress. And then now followed by a little bit more heat. And that certainly is helping to, you know, the forecast is calling for heat, which will help push the soybeans and it'll help the crop. So overall, weather forecasts have been pretty close to ideal. Now we've got some trouble spots out there, and we always do.
Grain trade is preparing for USDA's acreage report coming out on June 30th. AgMarket.net expecting planted corn acres to come in slightly below USDA's March prospective plantings estimate, while soybean acres move higher. This is AgMarket.net analyst Tyler Shaw.
You know, a lot of that is just lower acres on high fertilizer prices, some supply challenges. You had a little bit of excessive moisture in a few parts. For the most part, that feel like that's going to pull some of those acre numbers down. The key point, we think we would have probably seen even lower number there had corn, December corn, not rallied all the way to 506.5. That probably kept some of those acres in the ground as spring planting was occurring.
Farmers Business Network head of brokerage and consulting, Josh McClure, says the biggest acreage shifts they've seen were concentrated in drought-affected areas of the central and northern plains.
Interestingly, the spots that we saw the biggest changes in corn were in the high plains, Nebraska, the Dakotas, and down around Joplin, Missouri, on both kind of sides of Kansas and Missouri. We saw big changes with acres going down for corn, and we think that that was really mostly tied to the drought.
It may have been a missed opportunity to sell grain before the recent sell-off. Looking at seasonal tendencies, Summit Commodities research analyst Tim Marsh expects another chance to sell in July.
Just that need to be ready to jump on the market when that chance arrives. Typically, in an El Nino year, you end up with a fairly good crop in El Nino years, which is this year. So in the back of your mind, keep in mind, you're probably going to have an okay crop. We're probably not going to go, you know, shoot the moon on prices. So if we have a rally in July, it'll often test the high that we saw earlier. Take advantage of that and sell into it when it happens.
According to the latest USDA milk production report, U.S. continuing to add cows to the herd. Naomi Bloom, senior market advisor for Total Farm Marketing.
That report was brutal. So the report had a bearish tone again. Another 10,000 dairy cows added to the herd through May. Milk production was up 2.3% from last year. So from the end of last December, the United States dairy herd has grown 99,000 head in 5 months. That is significant. So that is the reason why milk production just continues to be higher. Demand, of course, great, but when you are making production this strong, it's going to weigh on the market price, and that's just the reality for now.
Economic conditions across rural America remaining in contraction during May, according to the latest Rural Main Street Index from Creighton University. The overall index slipping to 45.7, marking the fourth straight month below the growth neutral level of 50. With a look at this week in the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Boost your crop's health with Domark 230 ME and Badge SC fungicide exclusively from Gowan USA. Domark's systemic action teams up with Badge's outstanding mixing properties for unbeaten disease control on sugar beets and dried edible beans. Experience the power of two different modes of action with Domark and Badge. Don't wait. Contact your local ag retailer and ask about Domark 230 ME and Badge SC. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
Imagine this. You gather a stadium full of farmers, step up to the podium, and tell them about your business. What would that be worth to you and your company? This is Don Wick from the Red River Farm Network. We fill that stadium every day with some of the most progressive-minded, forward-thinking farmers and ranchers around the world. Find out how the Red River Farm Network can carry your message to farmers and ranchers. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. Senate Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman releasing the Agriculture Act of 2026, a discussion draft aimed at advancing a long-awaited new farm bill.
I think most of you all understand that. An updated farm bill is long overdue. Economic conditions have changed dramatically since 2018 when we did the last farm bill, which was actually based on 2012 data. Producers nationwide are anxiously awaiting action.
Washington analyst Jim Wiesmeyer says the timeline remains challenging as Congress approaches the recess for Independence Day and lawmakers facing a limited number of legislative days before election.
Both the House and the Senate really don't have that many congressional days left before the November 3rd elections. What I'm signaling here is I'm not going to be surprised if this moves into for eventual passage on both the House and Senate floor. I say return to the House because the Senate's going to change the Farm Bill version from what the House had, especially on some controversial issues, Prop 12 and, you know, things like that.
President Donald Trump welcoming farmers, ranchers, and ag leaders to the White House on Thursday night.
We're delighted to be joined by some of the hardest working, most dedicated patriots in our country. That's called the American farmers. We have great, great, incredible people. And I love you for a different reason. I think I get about 98% of your vote. At least. We're trying to figure out who the other 2% were.
One of those in attendance at the White House Farmers Dinner was North Dakota Senator John Hoeven, who says he's continuing to work with the Trump administration to secure additional financial assistance for farmers.
Yeah, I've been working on it with the White House and with, of course, Brooke Rounds at USDA, and also with, you know, the defense community. Talked to Secretary Hegseth yesterday, Secretary of War Hegseth, and so, I mean, been working to get a supplemental for a number of things, but of course, one of which very important to North Dakota would be some additional ag assistance to get our producers through to October when the One Big Beautiful Bill really kicks in.
House Ag Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig used a committee hearing this week to criticize the way recent farm safety net investments were funded, while also warning that farmers continue to face economic challenges from higher costs and trade disruptions.
We all know that there were many farm bill programs that needed new investment, particularly the farm safety net programs. They should have been done in a 5-year, 12-title farm bill. Unfortunately, these investments, as well as much of Trump's billionaire bailouts, were paid on the backs of our nation's most vulnerable. Hungry children, veterans, and older Americans by cutting $187 billion from SNAP. Since those cuts were made, over 4 million Americans, including over 800,000 children, have had their food taken away.
Federal regulators getting a firsthand look at crop production and pesticide stewardship across North Dakota during the North Dakota Grain Growers Association's annual E-Tour. Week-long event brings EPA staff from across the country into farm country. North Dakota Grain Growers Association Executive Director Nick Sinner says the exchange of ideas has been valuable for everybody involved.
We've had a good group of people that have come out from Washington and Raleigh and Denver and Cincinnati and very much involved, a lot of good discussion, a lot of give and take, and everybody's learning from each other on this tour, which is what our intention is. And so we've been really pleased with this year's tour.
With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Did you know that there are several different types of crop hail insurance policies? Hi, this is Bethany Rentz, crop insurance agent with Irie Insurance. We at Irie Insurance want to help you select a hail policy that will best protect your crops and bottom line from a hailstorm. Give us a call today to schedule a time to meet with an Irie Insurance agent. For our contact information, go to our website at irieins.com.
You're protected and appreciated at Irie.
Irie Insurance is an equal opportunity provider.
Check out the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. The Pennington County Farm Service Agency in Thief River Falls is hiring a full-time permanent program analyst. The application deadline for this position is July 6th. Find out more on the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. That's rrfn.com. If you have ag jobs to fill, contact the Red River Farm Network for more information.
With a look at this week in the weather, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. Recent rains have brought some relief to parts of North Dakota and northwest Minnesota, but the region remains drier than average overall for the month. NDON Director and North Dakota State Climatologist Daryl Richeson says the pattern should continue through the weekend before warmer temperatures come in next week.
And if you're looking for a little bit of heat, it finally looks like we'll start seeing more above average temperatures next week in particular. The Red River Valley, perhaps even this weekend a little bit, but especially next week and as we approach Independence Day, it looks like we'll see a little bit of shift of the pattern, get warmer temperatures in here. But in the short term, still on the cool side with rain. And I think weather-wise, probably the days to watch will be this weekend, both Saturday and probably Sunday. We could see severe weather in the area.
Richeson says while periodic rain chances remain in the forecast, his longer-term outlook still favors warmer than normal temps and below-average precip across much of the northern plains for this summer. According to the weekly crop progress report, 68% of the corn, 66% of the soybeans in good to excellent condition, unchanged from last week. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the spring wheat conditions are disappointing.
No dramatic trouble spots, but overall condition is not optimal. Just 54% good to excellent. That is down a point from last week. 6% very poor to poor, no change from last week. Compared to last year, actually doing a little better now at this stage. We're equal on the good to excellent ratings at 54%, but last year's very poor to poor rating was higher at 15%. A couple of states in double digits very poor to poor currently, and that includes Montana at 11%.
Recent thunderstorms across the northern plains changing the disease outlook for dry bean growers. NDSU plant pathologist Sam Markell says wetter conditions could create an environment favorable for bacterial blights later this season.
Yeah, the weather seems to have changed in the last couple of weeks. And with these thunderstorms and with water, that kind of changes the game for things like bacteria blights, which we don't tend to see too much when it's dry. Well, we're not really that dry anymore. So I'd be on the lookout for those here, if not quite yet. But you want to start thinking about it as we move through in the next few weeks.
Spraying season has been a challenge across west central Minnesota. Elbow Lake farmer and agronomist Leah Johansson says frequent rain, windy conditions, and cooler temperatures have made it difficult for farmers to stay on top of weed control.
You know, for our neck of the woods, this has probably been one of the most challenging spray seasons on record with excess rainfall. And when it's not raining, the wind is blowing. And if the wind's not blowing and it's not raining, it's cold. So it's been a very frustrating process to try to stay ahead of weed control this 2026 crop.
DeKalb Asgrow technical agronomist Grant Mehring says growers have dealt with everything from herbicide injury and hail to wind damage and nutrient stress, but overall he still likes the crop's outlook.
Some cornfields in particular that just look bent. They have just been like spending at a 45. Now things are rapidly growing. We're kind of pushing on vegetative material. And now what we're really seeing in soybeans and corn is, in particular in soybeans, we're seeing extremely widespread iron deficiency chlorosis. It's a very interesting iron deficiency chlorosis where sometimes even our very best genetics aren't really having any benefit to being great genetics on iron deficiency. They're just looking yellow like the rest of them. And the iron deficiency has moved much further west.
With a look at this week in the weather, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Gowan USA Dry Bean Herbicide Platform delivers. Get premier dry bean weed control from Eptam 70 and Sunlit HFP, providing excellent pre-emergent control of grasses and key broadleaf weeds, and they can be tank mixed with many pre-products. Follow with a post-application of Permit and clean up the late flushes of nut edge and other broadleaf weeds. Use Eptam 70 plus Sunlit HFP, followed by Permit for clean beans and higher yields. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Company.
On air and online, the Red River Farm Network is reporting agriculture's business. RRFM.com has news headlines, weather, and markets, all as close as your PC or smartphone. The Red River Farm Network also keeps you up to date on Facebook and our weekly e-newsletter, FarmNet News. Sign up today at RRFM.com. From the farm field to Capitol Hill, from the tractor cab to the coffee shop, the Red River Farm Network, reporting agriculture's business.